a little bit more international, like Liverpool or Manchester. And there's certain excitement as you see your team move forward in the league. There is a kind of, wow, you feel something. It just marvels at how some people pledge their allegiance to all these. How many men here are Liverpool fans, Man U fans? No, none of them will admit it because it's wrong in church, but... The pledge of allegiance is so important for them, and it kind of moves on. Recently, I went to the casino. I went to both casinos, and I did not pay the $100. The government paid that for me. I was part of a team that was studying gambling, and I was amazed at the environment of the casino. I've never been to a casino, so it was really, really nice to be there. The smoke is terrible, by the way, and if you want to get secondhand lung cancer, I mean, that's a space for that. And I looked at the people who are focused on the game. There was a table, the machines. And it's just surprising. You don't see much emotions as they play. They were literally poker-faced. And I asked some of my friends, some of them were some of the experts who came in from the US and Australia, New Zealand, and all that. And I said, do you see? And all of them were kind of amazed at what you saw in that Singaporean casinos, because they said, well, back home, it seems to be a lot more happening, and people are always laughing and or sobbing. There's some kind of emotions going, but here it's kind of real cold. But yet, despite that, there'll be no question about the fact that whether people are excited about what they're playing, because you can see how frequently they're placing bets and the amount that they're taking out to put on the table. You know that they are very excited about when luck will change and they will make their big $1 billion prize. I don't know what excites you in life, what keeps you enthusiastic. It could be food, and some of you, it's all about chasing down the Makan Sutra and making sure you go to every single place. And maybe it's about getting your biggest bargains in Vietnam or Thailand or somewhere else. Maybe it's about seeing those great sights in New Zealand. Maybe it's about winning some computer game when you pit yourself against some no real person. But there is no question that human beings get excited about things. Whether you're Caucasian, whether you're Asian, whether you're African, whether you're whatever you are, all of us are excited, and our marketing world knows that they can get you excited about things. Whether you talk loud about it or whisper about it, they know in your heart there is something that gets you very excited, and you would give up a lot of things to make that thing which you want a possibility. Excitement, if you're not familiar with that word in the English language, is defined as to be stirred or thrilled. It says a state of being emotionally worked up, the feeling of active and cheerful joy. Some people say that they're excited at some times, at some moments. Some things captivate them. Some things get them into that moment where they feel this exhilaration, this thrill, this joy, this cheer. It just comes upon them. The verse we read today said it's simply like this. In Psalms 122, verse 1, it says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. The psalmist talks about what gets his attention, what gets him excited, what makes him glad. The emotions that stirs up in his heart when they say, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, I mean, this is kind of strange. Now, some of you know, if you talk to people who are addicted to gambling or chocolate or whatever they're addicted to, when you mention that alcohol, you say, let's go out to party, suddenly something in them just begins to rise up. It's a new force which gives them, they may be so tired, but suddenly something energizes them because this is so important. And we hear a lot of that. We know a lot of people like that. But you know what? For the psalmist, it is when they said, let us go into the house of God. That's what got his attention. That's what got him excited. I don't know what David was doing before that. Maybe he was playing a game of chess. Or maybe he was kind of watching things going on in the palace. But what it was, he says, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. It wasn't the kind of feeling that some of us feel sometimes. It's, oh man, church again. We were there last week, weren't we? What's different today? The preacher used wore blue last week. I'm sure he's going to wear a blue shirt again. Last week we were there in church, and David could have said we brought a whole truckload of cows, and we offered that. We offered the wheat, and we had to stick through a bloody service, and that's literally bloody. And there was such a stench in that place. But David doesn't say all that. He says, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Would you say amen? The psalmist had come to a place in his life, and the greatest thing that made him glad, which got him excited, was God. David knew lots of pleasures in life. This is not a man who did not taste many pleasures in life. This is not the prisoner who gets a chance once a week to come out and to have a little service, and he scooped up all the week in cells, so in his little cage, and to come out is something special. This is not like the person who is not able to get out from the home, maybe an elderly person who can't leave that home, and once a week somebody gets him out of the home so they can see something. This is not a man like that. David had everything else that could possibly thrill him. We read about David, we know, for instance, he had many women in his life, many concubines. He had them from many, many countries. So if somebody from Italy didn't please him, somebody from Persia would please him. So he had everything else. He had all these people. We read that he had the best food that was set apart for him. He's got food imported from different places. If you read the collection of food they had there, it's just unbelievable the amount of things they had in their life. He had all kinds of pleasures, all kinds of things, all kinds of sport, everything that could possibly make someone glad. David had it. But David realized the greatest thing. David acknowledged the greatest thing that brought excitement to his life was he went to church to meet God. Would you say amen? God is interested in bringing excitement to people's lives. Would you say amen? Luke chapter 2, verse 14 to 16. We read about the excitement that happened in that little Bethlehem place. When the angels came to cheer and sing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And as you read about the shepherds coming, they say, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made to us. It was a joyful occasion. They would come because it was great. There was excitement, and Jesus wants to be the source of excitement. Would you say amen? I think about the triumphal entry in Jerusalem, recorded in Mark 11, verse 9. And the Bible says that those who were there and those who had come, and when they saw Jesus walking on a donkey, they came out and they cried out saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. There was great excitement at place when they saw Jesus come in. I think about the woman at the well in John 4, 28 to 29. And this woman had all kinds of issues in her life. She was kind of going to place to find someone to fulfill a need for intimacy. Just was there, and she was trying to find it from a man, and it was just not there. And Jesus has an encounter with that woman and speaks into her life in a way which nobody else had spoken into her life before. And the Bible says, she left the water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the man, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could be the Christ. This woman suddenly gets excited about sharing to people about this person called Jesus. I think about other people in the Bible. I think about the lame man who was seated at a gate called Beautiful in Acts 3. We read that story about this man. He was asking for alms and God gave him legs. Would you say amen? Acts 3. And the Bible says, so he leaping up stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. There was an excitement in that place. There was shouting. There was gladness. There was praise because God had done great things for people. Amen. Today the question is really, and what I'm here to do is really to ask you that very simple question. What are you excited about? And also that question, what is there to be excited about God? And that's probably the question that many people have and as they come to church and say, well, you know, you talk about being excited about God, but what is it about church? What is it about God that you and I can be excited about? I think the answer is very simple. We can be excited about God for who He is and what He is going to do. Would you say amen? If you and I can get a revelation about Him, that Jesus is that perfect Father to each one of us, He's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. He's a lover of our souls. He's a defender and the protector of the weak. He's a calm in the raging storm. He's a prince of peace. He's the one who comes alongside us to guide us, to heal us, to help us. If you would get that into our spirit, you would know that life is worth living tomorrow despite of what you and I encounter. I'm thankful, I'm excited because I know that Jesus is my Father, He's my friend. When the enemy comes and brings all the storms in life, and the enemy does what he knows to do best. The Bible says the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. And the devil tries to come and take the peace out of my home and my family and my work, or try to take away the financial blessings in my life or my health or my connection with God. We can say, Jesus, I thank you because you are my Father. I thank you because you're the Prince of Peace. And I'm excited about what I'm going to see you do in my situation this week. Would you say amen? Last few weeks for me has been really crazy in terms of schedule. A terrible schedule of my work, lots of different things to do at church, different things to accomplish in different places. And I remember, it was a few weeks ago, and my wife would testify because I had to wake up very early, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, to get work done and get things sent out and all kinds of things like that. And it was just, for me, and before that I said, it was very interesting because before that, Brother Dyren, the Lord spoke to him, he emailed me, he says, the Lord's going to watch over you this season. I didn't even communicate that with me, and he said he's going to draw you into a close relationship with you, and I didn't even remember that. I said thank you very much. Remember, I think I mentioned it on Sunday, and it passed my mind, but it was beautiful to see what the Lord would do despite the schedule. And I made up my mind that I would not, despite the intensity of the schedule. When I woke up in the morning, I made sure I would shame the devil, take up my Bible, read my Bible, pray, and spend time with the Lord first. And it was beautiful to see God come every step of the way. Would you say amen? God's there. God's watching. God's giving grace when I feel there is just no more strength. God's strength is available. Would you say amen? And that keeps me getting excited about God because I say, well, God, I don't know what else you're going to do tomorrow. Amen? Despite my lack of faithfulness, despite my inability, despite my weakness, God, I know you're going to do something good tomorrow. Would you say amen? You and I can get excited about God because you know that He has great things in store for us. In fact, the Bible says He's got great things in store for those who love Him, for those who are called according to a purpose. God's purpose, and each one of us is called according to God's purpose. Would you say amen? Hallelujah. I can get excited and you can get excited about what God is going to do in touching and changing the world. I know we hear all kinds of terrible things, and if you were glued to the news in the last few weeks, we thought that with Osama being killed, and the terror would end. But if you watch the news, there were quite a few terrors recently in Mumbai. Just yesterday, 92 killed in Norway in a terrorist act, and a good number in Mumbai. And right in our country, we've got different kinds of murders and horrible deaths. And when you look at some of those things, it looks pretty bleak to us. It looks bad. The world doesn't seem to be getting any better. You think the world should be getting better with all of us being so educated and know things, the world being in a better state of economy, or at least there's some money to go around. But despite all that, it looks bleak. But you know what? Jesus spoke about these things. He prophesied that it's going to get worse and worse. He said the last days is going to be a terrible season of time. But yet, God's word also gives that prophetic word that His church will arise. The prophetic word of God's word in the book of Joel and the book of Haggai and all the prophetic words talked about the glory of the latter day. That is, this day God is going to shine forth through His church in a glorious way. Would you say amen? I read in His word, I remember, I realize that His people will stand tall in these days and stand as light bearers and dispel the darkness. We hear about sad reports of saints in our churches having cancer recently, and not so much our church, but this is a church, a Tabernacle of Joy, a couple of people at that age, in their 50s, getting cancer. And it's terrible. Terrible to hear some of those things. And sometimes our mind kind of flips, and you say, but in our church, a lot more people are in their 50s and 60s. How many reports of cancers are we going to receive? I heard those sad reports, and it's terrible. But down there in my spirit, there is a fresh feeling that says, God, I believe we're going to see some powerful demonstration of your glory in these days. Lord, I'm believing you that you would cause the church to rise up with people of faith who would believe you despite whatever the devil tries to do. You're going to rise up in faith and conquer the darts of the enemy. Would you say amen? I believe before the trumpet sounds and Jesus comes back for his bride, God is going to cause his church, his body to rise up in full authority to show the greatest demonstration of his power upon the earth we live in. Would you say amen? If you agree with that, would you give God a praise offering? Would you clap to him, believing God in what he's going to do? I believe there is something worth getting excited about God. Amen? We know that the better the gambler, he waits in anticipation. He waits because his luck is going to change. Soon he's going to get a complete win. So in the same way, the church and we are betting on something which is going to always win. Would you say amen? If people bet on all kinds of horses, we bet on one horse. The name of that horse is true and faithful. Would you say the one who rides that horse is called faithful and true? Someone say amen. And we have no fallacy. This is not the gambler's fallacy we hear about, because we know that the person that we put our faith, our confidence, our full bet on is the creator of the universe. He is behind us and he is going to ensure that his word will be fulfilled in his time. If you agree with it, say a good amen. I believe there is something worth getting excited about God. When you think about the fact that God is going to use these hands, everybody, you've got hands, and God's going to use those hands, and those hands are going to touch somebody who is full of cancer, and those hands are going to see that person being healed in Jesus' name. Those hands are going to help someone stand up who's lost strength in his body, and that person is going to walk again. Would you say amen? All of us who are sitting here, God has given us voices, and those voices are going to provide direction to people who are lost, who feel that they've got no answers. You are going to bring direction to their life. Would you say amen? Each one of us are going to bring direction to people. Some people who are great, some people who are giants, we're going to bring them directions. God's going to give us strategies which are going to bring millions of dollars for the advancement of God's kingdom. God's going to bring peace and joy through his people. I believe the Bible says the least of us, prophetically, the least of us is going to have influence over 1,000. Someone say hallelujah. I'm here to rally you here today to be excited about God. To be enthusiastic about God. In fact, the word... Have you heard the word enthusiastic is very related to the word excited? In fact, the word enthusiastic, it comes from two root words in Greek, en and tu. And en is in, and tu is the same root word for God. It's in God. When you're in God, that brings all the enthusiasm. Would you say amen? When you've got God in you, that is just something. Would you say praise God? Man, we see people getting excited, getting enthusiastic about things. And some of us, you've been to those situations when some of us, we're a little bit more mature, older, and we say, hi, yeah, all these kids, they get all so worked up about that. We've been there, done that, it's no big deal. Nothing to shout about, nothing to be so enthusiastic about, no point being, that preacher, that person just trying to do it, rah, rah, but no big deal. It's going to be the same. We don't care about the cheerleading. But I'm calling this church today, the Life Community Church. Once again, let's get excited. Let's get enthusiastic about Jesus. Someone say amen. A couple of verses, Ecclesiastes 9:10. And yesterday I was at Cell and I shared a whole bunch of verses. I'm not going to do that. But there are many, many verses in the Bible which talks about the word fervor. And you can look at that word fervor. And it's just a word that, and God tells his people to be fervent, lots of things. Ecclesiastes 9:10, it says, whatever your hand finds to do, do with all your might. Do with intensity. Whatever your hands find to do for God, do it with all your heart. Do it excitedly. Do it enthusiastically. Someone say amen. Romans 12:11 says it like this. And let me read it. Romans 12:11. It says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. God is calling his people to never lack in zeal. Turn to somebody and says, never lack in zeal. Turn to somebody and says, keep your spiritual fervor. keep a spiritual fervor. Hallelujah. In fact, just say something about the opposite of those who are not fervent. We are all familiar with that passage in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 15, 16, and 19. And Jesus is speaking to the church in Laodicea, or Laodicea. And he's saying this, I know your deeds and works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were either one of the other, cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, and neither hot nor cold, I will spew you, I will vomit you out of my mouth. And God says, as an admonition to them, be zealous, therefore, and repent. Some of you may not be familiar with that context of that passage in the book of when the Lord spoke to the church in Laodicea. And he said, because you're not hot or cold. Laodicea was in the middle of two cities or areas. On one side, there were the hot springs. And people would go to the hot springs because the hot springs would bring healing, and people would jump in that spring because there is something about the hot springs. When you come there, you could receive healing. There was some nutrition in that water which would bring life to you. On the other side, the opposite side of Laodicea was a place, I can't remember what the name was, but there were beautiful coal springs. Beautiful coal. People would go there and it was refreshing water. Beautiful, refreshing. It would bring just refreshing to them. But in the middle was Laodicea. From what we understand, that the pipes connected both sides, the hot and the cold. And so in the middle where Laodicea was, it was lukewarm water. And it was terrible because it did not have the cold properties and the hot properties, and all the minerals would kind of come in, and it would just be so nauseating if you drink the water in Laodicea. I think about what Jesus is saying then. He says, I want you to be either ones. I want you to be people who bring healing to others, people who bring strength to others, people who refresh others. But if you're not doing that, if you're not refreshing people, if you're not bringing healing and strength to them, then I would rather spew you out of my mouth. Those are strong words from Jesus. But Jesus is making a very important point. He says, I'm not here for those who don't want to be enthusiastic or excited about me. I know that excitement doesn't always get shown in how you display emotions. And we all say we're Asian. And as Asian, we don't show emotions. Kind of feel that way when it comes. And as I mentioned, you can go to the casino and nobody has emotions there. But yet, emotions are very much, it's constructed. All of us, Asian or Western or wherever you come from, you realize that there's some places in our culture, if you go for a wedding, for instance, if you come in a somber mood, something is wrong. You're supposed to be very happy and laugh and talk very loudly because it's supposed to be a joyful. You're supposed to have some emotions of joy in that place. God made us to have emotions. Would you say, whatever culture tells us, God made us with emotions. And the Lord says, I want you to show your emotions when you come to meet me. Would you say amen? How do you think God feels when he comes to that place into worship? And he sees us, I mean, you know, when God thinks about his children, he thinks about us. There are many, many analogies, but one thing he sees about us is a bridegroom and a bride. He sees us as his bride. And he sees us as those who love him. And if you are in a romantic relationship, have been or are in or will be, you realize that it's so important that your partner declares some love for you. My wife, once in a while, she kind of says, you know, you don't say, you don't do anything to make everybody know in the world. I'm telling you right now, I love my wife. But it's so important about declaring. Let everybody know that you love me. Make sure it's very clear. Same way we think about it when you come to God's house, and some of us, we find it very hard to declare our love for Jesus. I remember a couple of years ago, I think it was Brother Felipe, he was here in church, and Brother Felipe, he did some really outrageous things, and Terrence and Churching are out here today, but he found Terrence at the back, and he said, Terrence, come down, and he says, I want you to do the loudest thing to tell your wife that you love her, and It was very embarrassing, and I mean, trying to get him to shout. But he was trying to make a point that somehow or another we find it very hard. But God, when it comes to God, God wants all of us to declare affectionately our love and our desire for Him. If you agree with it, would you say amen? And so God calls us into excitement. But if you come into His house, when you come to know Him, God says, it may be out of your culture, it may be counterculture, but when you come to my presence, He says, I want you to come with joy because I bring fullness of joy. Would you say amen? But remember, it's not just emotions. Everybody say, not just emotions. Excitement means that you believe in what is happening. When you're excited, it means that you would put your bet. I think going back to that gambling analogy, it's that you say, well, you know what? I'm putting my money where my mouth is. We've heard that statement. If you really believe, if you sing all these praises to this Jesus, then your life, you'd also put your time, your talent, your treasure to Jesus. Would you say amen? If He really is that important to you and you sing all that praises, you know, you hear some people, you always hear it, they all talk, but they don't do anything. When it comes to Jesus, it's not just about us opening up our mouth and worshiping our best. It's also our life needs to conform with that in terms of how we use our time, our talent, and treasure to say, Jesus, I'm excited about You. I'm excited about what You are going to do in this earth. I'm excited about what You would do through my life. And so, Lord, because of that, God, You would see in my time and my talent and how I use my talent and how I use my treasure, God, He's going to show You, Jesus, that I believe in this. I'm excited about what You are going to do to me and through me. Would you say a good amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm sure some of you are saying, Bobby, thank you very much for sharing. I don't feel anything about God right now. It's a little drudgery. There are too many things to battle in life. Too many fights that I have to deal with. I've got problems at work, problems at family, problems with money. And if you want me to list it, it's going to be a very, very long list. And maybe you would say, if it had been a little easier, I would be enthusiastic about the things of God. I'm sure that's a statement that many of us would say. And I hate to be insensitive to the fact that we have pain and there are trials. But I want to read a portion that Paul the Apostle penned down in 2 Corinthians 11, 24, 27. And Paul says this. And he says, if you think that anybody has been weak, please consider me. That's what Paul says. So I think we have license to mention his statement. He says, 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus 1. 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Spent a night and a day adrift in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at the sea, in danger from false brothers. I've labored and toiled and have gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. He goes on to share what he's gone through. But you know what? If you read about Paul's life, none of these difficulties, none of these obstacles stopped him. He went on serving God no matter what hardship or difficulty befell him. You can read a story in the book of Acts. You can read about how he dealt with things. You can read how when he was stoned in a particular place, left for dead, and God came supernaturally, gave him strength. He got up, and the next day, he's out preaching again. I mean, you just scratch your head about this guy. I mean, don't you need a few days to recover? Even if the stones the bleeding is gone, and there a lot of pain in your emotions of what you went through, falsely accused, and you did all kinds of good things for them, and then they stoned you. Don't you feel you need to recover through the emotional turmoil and trauma you went through? No, Paul goes out, preaches the next day. I think about Paul when he is on that ship. He is taken prisoner. He is on that ship. The people there don't eat anything. He counsels the people on the ship. He says, don't go that direction because it's going to reach a shipwreck. The captain refuses. That's what he thinks to do. Again, a shipwreck. He has to go through the cold water. When things go wrong and other people are involved in your life and they make bad decisions, God does not naturally protect you from all that. You know that? Sometimes we feel that God should protect it. God didn't protect Paul, his choice apostle, he didn't. Other people made bad decisions, and Paul had to suffer through the consequence. But you know what? Paul goes through that. He goes through that freezing cold. He gets to that island, Malta. He's helping, being helpful, getting through the sticks and trying to help them burn a fire. And a snake comes and bites him. If you're like many of us, we would just look to God and say, this is it. We've been through those situations, right? I mean, a few things, and he said, this is it, God. If there's anything, I mean, this is it. This is the final straw. If you expect me to serve you one more day, it's over. I'm done. And there the Bible says he flicks it up, he does not die. And then the next thing is, God, he goes out and he continues to preach. Think about this man. Think about the kind of excitement he had about God. You see, there was something there. There was some fire which was burning in his life. There was a fervency. That's why he encouraged his disciples. He encouraged Paul, encouraged his people. He said, be fervent in this. Be fervent. Because you realize, and that's what Paul is saying, you realize your strength is not from you. Your strength comes from the Lord. Would you say amen? And that's where you tap that unending reservoir of grace and life and love. Would you say amen? So what will give us that excitement for God? What will give us that fire? In fact, the word to be fervent actually means to be hot, to be on fire. Have you played that trick on someone, and then you bring them for some meal, and then they brag about the fact they can handle the spicy level in Singapore, and not trick. And I was with Joseph some weeks back, and Joseph and he can handle some hot stuff because he is in Texas and they eat kind of hot jalapeno and all the rest of it. And we were sitting down, and I said, you know, that one can be quite hot. And he said, never mind the chili padi. It's okay, I've tried better. And he takes one, and then, oh, he has to down quite a few glasses of water. Don't say I told about that one. This week, Brother Eli is going to come. But Brother Eli, he can eat every chili padi without a problem. He can just take a few and put it in his mouth. And he is literally... So that's why when he preaches with all that hot enthusiasm, you know he ate a lot of chili padi. You see people on fire when you give them that chili padi. You can see in their eyes light up, and you see the perspiration, and you see everything. I mean, you notice something is happening. It's a little hot there. If you want to be hot for God, if you want to be excited about God, if you want that new level of enthusiasm for God, we need some fire to fall in our life. We need some chili padi experience. We need something to happen that will stir that fire. You know, fire needs to fall to consume the offering. Would you say amen? And fire comes from God. Amen? You can't make that fire. You can pull the sticks and you can rub the sticks many, many times. But you know what? God is the one who is going to allow the fire to come. Would you say amen? But you see, before the fire comes, I believe the fire for all of us is a supernatural experience. God's the one who puts fire. God's the one who sends fire down in our life. Some of us can share about a point of time in our life when something hit us. God, it's God, like God supernaturally came and touched us and moved things around in our life. And we feel this new energy, this enthusiasm, this excitement for God. It just happens. It's sudden. It's a divine move of God. And that part of it, we can't do very much. But you know what? I believe what we can do, each one of us can do, is we can store some oil for the fire to burn. Would you say amen to that? We can store some oil. We need oil. I remember this week I was reading two passages, and I felt the Lord just lead me to two passages. One of it was the story of that woman who had nothing and told the prophet Elijah. He says, I have no nothing. They're trying to get my sons away. And he says, what do you have? I've got a little bit of oil. He says, go find every container possible and pour out oil. And the Bible says that oil continued to fill every one of those containers. As many containers as there were possible, the oil would fill. And I read another passage this week, and it was the passage about the 10 virgins. Some of them had kept an extra portion of oil. The others had not kept that extra portion of oil. I believe all of us need a portion of oil in our lives. Have you heard about, and I probably shared about this before, but if you notice a candle, or any kind of lamp, they always have a wick. Some wicks are cloth, some wicks are a particular kind of material. But you know what? Isn't it amazing the fact that the wick does not burn up. I mean, you put that fire in that wick, and that wick does not burn. I mean, the thing that should be burning and going to ashes for 12, 13 hours should be that piece of cloth or the wick, but it does not. And the reason is, as long as the wick is able to transfer the oil quickly through, we realize that the wick will not burn out. I think about that. You know, some Christians talk about the fact that a fire falls in their life. And that's why sometimes if you don't have the oil in your life and a fire falls in your life, you will be consumed very quickly. That's what happens to some people when they get a sudden touch and a sudden move and they say, God, give me a fire. And God does touch them in the fire of God. God brings such an excitement to their life. Sometimes that excitement has very short fuse. It dies very quickly. And then they are burned up and they say, I'm burned. I'm gone. I'm consumed. You never see them after that. That's because they've not stored oil in their life. All of us need to store oil in our life. Would you say amen? The parable of the 10 virgins tells us that it's possible. There is oil that we can get. The oil, the type of the Spirit of God. And we can, it's as if we can store more of God in our life. Because there are going to be times of test and trial when it's not so easy to get that oil. You need to have a reserve of that oil already. Would you say amen? That's what you and I do in church. That's what you and I do when you soak ourselves and we say, Jesus, would you come? That's why we call times of prayer and fasting and reaching out to God. Maybe you don't have any particular need at that point of time. But what you're doing is saying, God, would you pour? Would you make me a reservoir to contain more of your presence, more of your oil, more of you, Jesus, more of your anointing in my life? Because there's going to be a day and a time when it's going to be tested and there's not much place for you to get any more and you have to use the reserves which you have stored out. Someone say amen. So I believe it's so important. That's why we emphasize in church, we emphasize the need for us to come and receive from the Lord. We emphasize times when we come and soak into the presence of God. That's why we emphasize prayer. That's why we emphasize studying the Word of God, because it's as we study God's Word, faith begins to develop in our life. It's as if the Spirit comes, the Spirit and the Word come together, and God begins as our eyes are open to the Word of God, then we allow the Spirit to come and report out in our life. Would you say amen? I've decided I'm going to resurrect back. I used to have weekly teaching in church about some topic of the Bible, and I'm going to resurrect that from August, because I think that the people who need to grow more in God's Word. And as we grow, as we build up a reservoir, we begin to be strong. And when we go through those battles in life, there is enough oil that's stored for us. Would you say amen? When God puts us in a new level where we are taxed many, many more times because there's so much more that God is asking us to do, and there's so much more to do, there is enough supply of oil. Would you say hallelujah? Praise God. So God asked us. And so I believe if you're going to have some, we're going to continue to be hot for God. We're believing God. We have to believe God for a experience with Him. We've got to believe God for His fire to fall upon our life. And sometimes it happens just so suddenly. Maybe this weekend could be a season where God's fire will fall upon our lives. Would you say amen? Maybe not everybody. Maybe some of us. God is going to put His blaze upon our life. Would you say amen? I believe God's called us to pray and soak in and receive what He has for us. But though the experience may be one-off, and maybe that's what's going to light us, it doesn't mean that there are seasons where God just puts a blaze of fire upon our life. And some of us, sometimes we have the idea, I have to wait until I get that fire coming. That's the only time I can be excited about God. That's the only time I can do anything to serve Him. We read about great people in the world today, whether it's Beethoven or Bach or Mozart and all those great people. And we hear about their music and we hear about all the inspiration they had to create beautiful music. What we don't hear about is the fact that each one of them, they settled down every day, day after day, with a job at hand. They were conscientiously practicing, doing what they're supposed to do, just like an accountant or clerk is, just settling down every day, taking care of the numbers. They were doing that. They didn't waste time waiting for one day when the inspiration would come. They chose to do something when it's still possible. Because one day, as you and I keep busy in doing what God has called us to do, when we keep busy studying His Word, when we keep busy praying, when we keep serving Him the way we can possibly serve, there's going to be a day when God's fire is going to fall upon our lives. Would you say amen? It could just be so ordinary a day, but then we know that Jesus has come and He has radically changed and transformed and placed a new dimension on our life. Would you say, praise God? The final thing, if you want to see the fire continue to fan in our life, we need to commit ourselves to a body of believers. Hebrews 10:24, it says this, let's consider how we may spur or motivate or stimulate one another to love and good deeds. We are dependent on each other. Would you say amen? That's why we care about the church. That's why we care about groups within the church, or cell groups, or different kind of ministry groups. We care about this. We care about friendships in church. People who would stir one another. Amen. You want to stay excited about God. You to be a part of people. You to be with people who would also share a passion about being excited about God. Because if there's nobody being excited about God, our flame dies out very quickly. But when there are people around us who continue to challenge, who continue to provoke us, who continue to say, hey, come on, we can continue our race with God. You know, we continue with the Lord. We continue our walk. We continue with our passion. Would you say amen? Let us stand as we close today's service. But what I want to challenge you here today is God is calling us. God is asking us to be hot for Him. God's calling us to get rid of that lukewarmness. God's calling us to a renewed place of excitement and enthusiasm in Him. God's called us to a renewed place when we become excited about what is the Lord going to do. I'm just waiting for what is the Lord going to do. I'm just waiting to see. I mean, it's a new way when you get into life and you get into work tomorrow. You're saying, Jesus, I'm excited about what I'm going to see you do at my workplace. I'm excited about how you're going to show me strength, which I never found before despite the trials. And you'd be amazed when you go through some things and when people say the most nasty things at you and you just come through with that with a proper good attitude and you say, God, that was you. You know, it's you and it's God. You know, good things don't come through you, it comes from God. Would you say amen? And when you know you handle some of those things, you say, wow, it is the Lord. When you see just that creativity that comes through your life and you say, well, I couldn't have thought about those things, it must be the Lord. We can go into our work life tomorrow. We can get into our family life tomorrow with an excitement to know God is with me. He's my Father. He's my friend. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the one who is the mighty refuge. He's the one who is with me. And I can go into life tomorrow saying, God, I'm excited about what I'm going to see you do. I may not see a whole bunch of things tomorrow, but you know what? I believe you that Tuesday, there might be some things you might do. Or maybe if it's Tuesday, I'm not seeing it yet. Lord, I know it's going to come. It may tarry, as the book of Habakkuk says, but it shall surely come. How would life be for each one of us if we could be excited about God? We could be excited about God. I'm anticipating the day when you would use these hands. And when I place those hands on someone, somebody is going to actually have a real miracle. We don't have to wait until then. Because you're going to keep putting hands. Because one day is going to come to pass. When you put your hands, you're going to see the most outstanding miracle happen. Would you say amen? And we can be excited. You can do two things. One, you can be disappointed. Every time you lay hands on someone and things don't happen, or you pray with someone, things don't work out. You can be very disappointed. Or you can say, God, I know this is not it yet. I know there's going to be a day, there's going to be a time that things are going to happen, things are going to change. And I'm waiting for that day with anticipation. I'm waiting because I know it is surely going to come to pass. Hallelujah. I want us to look to God right now, all of this house. Just reach out to Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.